I'm going to do a couple of things today, so it's going to have to move quick. I've handed out some cards, and it's got different verses on it. So if you've got a card with the verse on it, have that verse ready to go. And then when I call out that verse, I just out loud in front of everybody, we're small enough, we can pull this off, that you just read the verse out loud. We're going to have to do that to really, to make time work today, so we're not here till, trick-or-treat tonight. So, okay. Right now, I'm going to cover the theme of Halloween. This is kind of a controversial subject with churches. And so what we need to do is we need to ask ourselves, you know, we kind of made fun just saying, man, would Jesus do it? You know, and the question is, should the church participate in it? And I'm going to tell you, I cannot tell a lie. If you go back in history and you go back to even like the 30s, and you see what the church has done, the church would totally stay away from what we call the holiday of Halloween. And I know people sometimes, it's a holiday or a holy day. That word hollow actually was that when it first started off. It was kind of considered, but the Catholic Church came along and kind of made it what they said was a holy day. But the church of old would not participate in it. But guys, let's be honest. The church of old did a lot of things that we don't do today. Some of it's a shame to us, if you read what the Bible says, and some of it not so much. So basically, what I want to do is start off with a touch of history. Nobody's going to be shocked by the history of Halloween. We kind of know it. The weird thing about it is if you really want to find out what Halloween is all about, it's like a quilt. It's stitched together from a lot of cultures and a lot of time periods to where what we see today. That's what's weird about it today. It's, you know, a lot of people just say, man, Halloween, that's the devil's holiday. Well, there would have been a day we'd have probably said, yes, it is. So much has changed in culture. There's just a lot of things that have changed. So, it was actually the Celts, you know, as they were over conquering and going through Europe on October 31st, before it was ever called Halloween, they just had an end of harvest celebration. They would end their harvest and they would just have a big celebration. And here's where it starts getting weird. They believed on that night of October 31st, the ghosts of all the dead people walked the earth once again. And so that night, yeah, they would have celebration, they would have a party, but as the sun started going down, these towns would light the largest bonfires they could. They would get the light shining brightly, and they were convinced that it would drive away some of these evil spirits, some of these ghosts. A lot of times they were known to take gourds like this and cut faces and scariness into them, try to illuminate them, thinking that that would even protect their house and to get the demons or the devils away. It's true. But it was in the 7th century when the Catholic Church came along and they called November 1st, the day after Halloween, they called it All Saints Day. This was the day where they honored martyrs and just dead saints that have went on before. So it kind of got confusing, you know. They used to say it was All Hallows Eve, so the night before. And these dead spirits would come along. And so the Catholic Church has been famous for doing this for history. And by the way, I don't think it's always a good thing that they've done. But I'm not freaked out about it either. Because, you know, Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th. But through culture and through time, the Catholic Church come along and there were these groups of people that had festivals, and they believed in dead spirits, and they would do all kinds of crazy things. And even in the Bible, they'd put trees in their homes and decorate the trees. And it wasn't for the God of the Bible. I mean, there's so much about Christmas that has nothing to do with Jesus, right? I mean, reindeer. I mean, we all love them, don't we? Christmas cookies and packages and presents and trees and stockings and Santa Claus. Santa Claus. There's Jack Frost, for the love of, you know, we love this. But it has nothing to do with the Bible. But what happened is the Catholic Church came along and said, well, let's just use this. And some of that has really turned out for good, but some for bad. You know, as time started moving on through different, we had basically this would have been like the late 1930s, when the Irish immigrants were coming to the U.S., they brought a lot of this Halloween, devil, spirit thinking with them. So even simple things like bobbing for apples, that was Irish, playing tricks, the trick-or-treat theme that we like to do, wearing masks, they did all that. They brought that. And so all of it starts getting mixed together in one big pot. And so it was, that's when we get, it wasn't until the late 30s that we started the trick-or-treat. Now, if you look in history, some of the trick-or-treats was for real. Like, a common trick was people would just go to people's homes, and that night they would, like, remove their front gate of their house and just take it away. Yes. It got to the point where they were doing even damage to people's homes. They would ask for treats, and then later on come on, and they would vandalize. I mean, there's definitely some towns and places where this kind of totally got out of control. We know nothing of that, do we? Our culture has come down to the spot where everything's just so soft today, you know? It's all just melted down, and let's be honest. You can find videos all over YouTube. There's pastors and ladies that will get on there and just say, hey, I was part of the Church of Satan, and Halloween was a big day for us. And if you were a satanic priest, they love to have their wedding days on Halloween, October 31st. And they did all that, you know. And so then if they meet Jesus Christ, you know, they're going to tell you that Halloween is the devil's holiday and we shouldn't have anything to do with it. And guys, there might be a time where we would say, I think that's true. Our culture is so soft. I think Halloween for us is truly about candy and wearing costumes. True? You know, if you really want to talk to kids about what Halloween, the start of it was, you know, your kids would have nightmares for 4 and 5 days. You know, but this time of year, we're infatuated with horror movies. And guys, we know that ain't good. You want to watch movies, people getting cut up and blood everywhere and devils and demons and spirits. The problem is, the Bible teaches that a lot of that is real. But they mix it with fantasy. And of course, it leaves a lot of people just totally scared out of their mind. And a lot of it ain't even true. But they get freaked out about it. There's three options we have here today. Three options. And that is, one, we can totally take this festival, this Halloween, and we can receive it. We can totally receive everything that it's about. There's people out there that like to dress up. And let's just face it, when you become adults and you go to Halloween parties, a lot of it involves it gets sensual. It gets bizarro. It gets evil. It's true. I mean, we cannot deny that. And you can totally just receive it and just say, I think this is totally cool and it's fine and I'm going to be involved in it. The second thing I think we can do is reject it. We can just say, Halloween's of the devil. I'm not doing it. It's the devil's birthday. It's the devil's holiday. And you have the right to do that. And I'll tell you, if you maybe had a dark background in your life and you participate in any form of like Satanism, it's out there. You know, people still are involved. Every once in a while, we meet somebody in town, and they'll talk that they're a witch, a practicing real witch. And it's not that they're sitting at home, you know, boiling up, you know. It's not what we think necessarily in the movies, but it's totally opposite of the Bible. Guys, the Bible does back up things like this. I don't want to make it soft like our culture is. I think we do need to teach what the Bible says about these things. But if you were involved in that in the past, you might totally say, no, I'm not going to do it. Let me give you a more practical example of this. If you had a background in your life of alcoholism, if that was your gig, you just drank too much all the time, and you meet Jesus Christ and he takes that habit away from you, and all of a sudden somebody just says, hey, after work we're meeting at, whether it's a tavern or a bar or a club or even at a home, and you hear everybody talking at work that, man, come on over, man, we're going to dress up and get trashed tonight. If you have that kind of background, I think that might be wise for you to reject that party. Maybe I don't have that background. And I feel very comfortable to go because I'm not even tempted to do some of those things. If you're a guy, maybe struggled in your past with some serious, maybe sexual type of sins maybe. if porn was a big part of your life, and you became a Christian and you've given that stuff up. And then all of a sudden everybody's just like, hey, we're going to, you know, watch a movie, or you're going to be a little more selective. Somebody might just say, oh, it's not a bad movie. Well, I mean, it's got one scene, but the movie, and you might have to just say, I'm going to have to reject that. You know, and I think there's a little wiggle room. Now, listen, if the Bible says something's clearly wrong, we got to stand there. Right? And I'm not saying I am for drinking at all. I've never seen it help anybody, if you want the truth. If you want to start talking about drunkenness, I can take you right to Scripture and show you wrong. Somebody gets drunk and out of their gourd, and they totally, are under the influence of alcohol. And yet I know some people that will drink. I've seen people, whether it's a glass of wine on an occasion, or they get hot and some people just want a beer. You know, I don't know, pound for pound, I guess if you take a can of Coke and put a can of Bud right here, and if you just broke the components that are down inside the can, I'm not sure which one's worse for you. You know, after a while, I'm sure the alcohol would catch up and start taking over, but a can for can, I don't know. But let's be Bible people. We don't have to be psychos, and we don't have to be necessarily weirdos. So you can totally receive this holiday, everything in history about it, and I'm not sure as a believer you can pull that one off, but people are either going to receive it, or two, some people utterly just say, I reject it, it's the devil's holiday. And the third thing we can do is we can redeem it. As history has went on and culture has changed, and I think there's places in the world where there's still crazy things like human sacrifices and people giving their children, all that stuff. There's places in the world that really that happens. We're just so far removed from the culture that Halloween was that is it possible that we can participate and redeem it for Jesus and for God's glory? For instance, it's possible, you know, and think about this. There's very few times a year, like, people aren't neighborly anymore. Like, it's very possible to have two homes over and you don't even know your neighbor's name. That's very possible. This is a time of year where you can take your children on that doorstep. Now, if you want to knock on their door and have Bibles and gospel tracts and knock on their door, I'm telling you what they're going to do is they're going to say, act like we're not home, you know. That's what they do with the, you know, different like cult type of groups that go through neighborhoods knocking on doors. That's another reason why churches years ago used to do that. And people would be like, man, thanks for stopping in. Come on in. Want some coffee? That's how it used to be. And today, if you decide that you're going to go through neighborhoods and knock on doors as the church to invite people to church, maybe to introduce them to Jesus Christ, the gospel, I'm just going to tell you, it don't work like it used to. You know, years ago, they used to drive around with buses and pick children up for church. That was a big thing to do with traditional type of Baptist churches. They'd fill up school buses in neighborhoods, and parents is like, get the kids out of our house. We don't care. You know, times have changed. You know, that's just not as effective as it used to be. And so, but all of a sudden, you got the opportunity to knock on people's doors and introduce yourself as neighbors, you know, get some free candy, you know, and people can come to your house. That's a good night. We used to always try to partner with the neighbor that had kids the same as ours. We'd do dinner together that night and then walk our kids trick-or-treating. It was a good night to be able to bond and to connect and just find some sort of redeeming value in it. So I think I would definitely lean towards redemption. Or number two, depending on you and your situation, your story, and where you're from, there's people in other countries with what they see and in their culture, they would say, we want nothing to do with it. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, I would say, that is totally cool. That is totally good for you. And they've even got Bible verses to back it. The hard part is they need to look at us and our culture and say, well, let's sum this up and see what they've seen and done and been through. You know, Paul deals with this in the New Testament. He deals with this several times. Do you remember eating meat offered to idols in 1 Corinthians 8? There was meat that was offered to idols, and the church was getting upset, like, these people are buying their meat over here. They shouldn't buy meat that's offered to idols. Well, what's weird about it is, If somebody's doing some sacrifice to the enemy with this meat, then just say, want a sandwich? You know, hey, do you want to eat this with us? Do you want to join in our celebration? Well, we're going to go, oh, that's a little weird. You know, no. But let me tell you what they were doing. A lot of times people were taking their meat and they were, you know, they were worshiping idols or their gods and dedicating all this meat and their profitability to it. And they would take this meat and take it to market. When a Christian like me would come along and just say, hey man, I'll take a pound of this and a chunk of that, a piece of this. And there were Christians going, I can't believe you would eat meat that was offered to idols. I didn't offer it to an idol. They took it to market. I bought it from the market because my family wants to eat it. You know what Paul says? And all meat is for the taking. He said, just be thankful for it. See, there was a difference there, and there was a little bit the church was really struggling with that. And so, you ever heard this before? People do this all through, like, you know, Procter & Gamble, the large company that makes everything from, they got their fingers into computer chips and Fritos, man. I mean, they make so many things and so many foods and so many products out there. And I've heard Christians say, did you hear that Procter & Gamble supports the Satanic Church in California? No, I never heard that. That's why we're buying nothing Procter & Gamble. We're not going to support that. It just starts getting a little bit edgy and weird. Like, when does this end? You know? So people would say, hey, do you celebrate Halloween? No, I don't celebrate Halloween. And what in the past, what it stood for? Do we participate? Well, yeah, we do. We've always dressed up the kids. And I was even, you know, poor Josie. Bethany got all the great costumes because she's the first child. So we made them homemade, did dyed hair and all kinds of. Josie came along. I'm like, get your bed sheet out. I poked a couple holes in it. You know, that's no joke. I did that one year. And I was just like, it's about the candy, man. It's about the candy. You know, so the pastor's kid was like the Scream, you know, mask. And I was just like, well, yeah, we're just after Snicker bars, if you want the truth. A couple of homes give cans of pop away. Then give us the address and we'd all go down there, you know. And so, basically, you know, receive it, reject it, or redeem it. And we're a church that has just chosen to say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and redeem this. Guys, there's a passage in Acts chapter 17 where Paul comes in and he sees they have an altar erected, not to the God of the Bible, but a pagan God. And hey, we know Halloween started as a pagan holiday. Now, since the Catholic Church got involved in, people say, no, actually, it was kind of a Christian holiday. No, they just decided to mix it together. It has a little pieces of the church, not necessarily a Christian church, but the Catholic Church and a little bit of pagan, and now it's all mixed up and comes out like this. And now I'm just like, man, can't it just be simple, you know, be Cinderella and get 10 Snicker bars? Can we not have fun with this, you know? It's weird putting on a costume, pretend you're somebody you're not. You know, that's what it is. It's the night of the hypocrites, you know. We always want to act like we're something we're not. I was always wanting to be a superhero. You know, I had a superhero costume on. And just maybe behind that mask, it's like, you know, I always thought, I know guys that way. I'm just like, that guy, you can whip his tail right now. Put football pads on him. I'm like, wow, he's a juggernaut. He ain't afraid anymore. Behind that, he's hiding. He's something a little tougher than that. And so, in Acts 17, Paul just said, here's an altar to the unknown God. That's what you said, to the unknown God. Choose the God you want. And then Paul even quotes in Acts 17. He says this in verse 28. Your own poets have said, which is interesting. Paul knew what their poets said. You know why? Because he was an informed Christian. He knew. It don't mean he necessarily liked it. It's kind of like all the modern music today. Is there anything wrong with listening to, you know, good modern music, whatever style you want to? Well, it depends. If you're listening to words that contradict the Bible, then yes, good music, bad lyrics, reject the song. We're Christians. We don't want to fill our minds with that type of stuff. And every genre does it. You know, years ago I got into, and this is going to sound crazy, but I don't know, it was the Cleaning House CD. That was when CDs were big. And we just got into a kick, of Frank Sinatra. I was like, it was good house cleaning music, you know? And it was something different we didn't normally listen to. And so, you know, and everybody just thinks, fly me to the moon. Well, it wasn't all that. I mean, this guy starts singing about, you know, taking his neighbor's wife. you know, and having his fling affair in this song. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was that. Then he's busting another song out and he's singing, you know, about cocaine, you know, and I was like, holy night, I didn't know Frankie. You know, then you look up in history, I'm just like, I didn't realize he was with the mobsters. I didn't know he was a gangster. And yeah, all that stuff came. So I got news for you. It's not a genre, some people, that genre of music is filthy. I've listened to country music. I've listened to rap. I've listened to rock and roll. You can find all that stuff. Go into classical, anything that would have any lyrics to it, look. Look at half those guys and the thing that they put down. So be careful of that. You got to be careful of marking that. But Paul knew it. So I think it's great if we're going to testify the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you can be Amish if you want to and sew your own britches up. Quit driving vehicles. There's ways around that because you see it all the time, right? Just pay somebody else to drive it for you and it'll be fine, right? That's what they do. They find all these little loopholes to get through it. You can be that and be so removed from a culture. And hey, I'm okay being weird. Really, it's okay being different. You got to be. It's okay to be a little bit different. But to be so odd from a culture to stand because you think you're holy and everything a culture does is bad. Do you know all of our days of our week? Look at our calendar. Look at all the months. Where do we get those names from? Look them up. They're usually pagan. But I got news for you as Christians. Did you know that the day you were born, the Bible says the sparks fly upward. We're all born in sin. Do you know that? Do we know that? The Bible says we're all born in sin. Nobody's exempt from that. Romans 3:23, all of sin to come short. The wages of sin lead to death. We know that, right? It's all bad. And you know what we like to do? Happy birthday to you. Celebrating birthdays. They did not always do that. Culture and time came along and eventually we adopted. You look at it and we're going to take our children and say, we're going to celebrate their birthday, which is actually their death day. They're born to die. They're born in sin. Once a Christian meets Jesus Christ, you become born again. You've got a new birthday, a spiritual birthday that made you alive. I know Christians that don't celebrate that. But when it comes to birthday time, they get their kids the gifts and say, isn't this amazing? I'm not a proponent of saying, let's skip the birthday idea. Birthdays are out. I'm not saying birthdays are out. I'm just saying if you really look at the history of some of this stuff, it's like, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. And the key is keeping your conscience clear before the Lord. The whole meat's offered to idols. If it bothers you, and some people, it really bothers them. Some people had filthy mouths. They cussed all the time, and they get around a bunch of cussing. They're like, my gosh, man, this really bothers me. Well, it don't bother me. I mean, I got a family that talks that way at home. No, just kidding. It don't bother me because I got saved in high school. Really, these guys are lost and they don't know the Lord. I don't expect them to talk like a Christian. But some people, it really irritates them and bothers them. And I've heard them even say up and say, hey guys, I appreciate if you wouldn't say, hey, I'm cool. I'm totally down with that. That's totally okay. It just depends on who you are and where you're from. I think there's some wiggle room here, right? And so, and you know what some churches do? It says, hey, let's throw a harvest party. Because that's how it originally started. But they take out the part about the ghosts of the dead coming. Let's have a harvest party. That's a good reason to celebrate. You worked your guts out for the last couple months. Let's celebrate this. And now we can rest, right, with the fruits of our labor. So Paul knew what they said. I think we need to be. It's good to know the history of this type of thing so we don't get weirded out by it. And a lot of people don't know the history, period. So I think it's good to know that. It's good to know, you know, birthdays and Christmas time and all these type of things. At least know how they started and what we use them for in our culture. And be very careful, because guys, there's a fine line right here, and it's called compromise. Don't compromise Scripture. Don't do that. So when it falls over, and somebody just says, no, you got to see that, that's a great movie. I'm like, dude, I looked it up, there's three scenes in it that show this, this, and that. Well, besides those three scenes, well, them's the three scenes that we'll all remember the most. So I would have to say no. Paul knew it. I think it's good to know music, and I think it's good as Christians to sometimes reject it. When people say, hey, man, don't you love that new song? You just say, man, the song's catchy and good, but you know what they're singing about? And I do that sometimes when there's a new song. I'm getting older. I'm 51 years old. Somebody will play a modern song, and I have to ask somebody, hey, what is this? I'm hearing this, and I don't know what it is. Then they'll just say, well, like I remember that song Take Me to Church came out like 8 years ago now. You know, there's a lady in our church who came up and says, the band has got to do this song. It's called Take Me to Church. And I was like, do you know what that song's about? And she said, no. I thought it was Take Me to Church. No, it's like, you know, a lot of country guys like to sing about being baptized inside of somebody's love. You know, it's, no, if you really look at the meaning of that, no, we're not singing that song in church. That's actually pretty filthy. You know, I don't know if you do that a lot, but to know the songs is fine. I'm like, it was at the beginning of this year. I'm just like, blue cheese. What in the world's blue cheese, man? I can't figure it out in this song. I just had to ask the right person, a younger person. He's like, now let me tell you what it is. I'm like, oh, okay, I got it now. And so now I want to get me more of that blue cheese. I ain't going to lie to you. So receive, reject, redeem. Paul learned what it is, and he went, and he had no problem going to where they were at and speaking of these things. But in Luke chapter 7, Jesus Christ, I want you to know, they looked over at Jesus and said, you know, he's given to wine. He's a friend of publicans and sinners because Jesus ate with them. So I love this about Jesus, that Jesus was not afraid to be around other folks and other people that participated in these types of things. And guys, we can't be afraid of the culture. We change the culture. If there's darkness in the culture, we bring light in there. And this is, here's the negative, guys. You ready for the negative? And get ready, because this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. When you dress your kids up and you go get candy and it becomes a fun holiday and there's zero redeeming value in it, that can be a problem. When your kid has a birthday and you're celebrating their birthday, and there's no reading, and you ask my girls, they've been embarrassed to me a few times over the years. They have their friends over, and I'm like, before we cut this cake and open up a gift, I want to say a few words. And the girls know it. I always bust the Bible. I always talk about a first birth and what it gets us. I always talk about Jesus Christ coming and offering a second birth. I try to talk about these things to give a redeeming value to it. It's Christmas time. And we want candy canes and stockings and tell our kids to make lists. And Santa Claus is coming to town. We watch every Christmas movie and it's beautiful. And all of a sudden our kids are very confused because Christmas morning you're just like, hey, guys, before we open up gifts, let's read the shortened version in Matthew of the Christmas story. They're not stupid. They know mom and dad's more about Santa Claus than Jesus. They know that. They're not stupid. Now, they're not going to say that because it would work against them. You know. So that's the problem. So when we talk redemption, everybody uses an excuse to do whatever they want to as a Christian. I don't think we have that, right? Is there, we go in here to a good place, all of us? So there's a little bit of history of Halloween. We know about it. It's wicked. Hey, a lot of bad things will happen tonight. A lot of, man, I could, you know what I did as a kid? You want to hear something crazy? You want a crazy story?
Yeah.
Here it is. I grabbed a friend and me and him said, man, let's go around and terrorize people on Halloween night. We're too old to trick or treat. So we did this. We got masks, and we went into the kitchen, and we got oatmeal and some water and mixed up this concoction where it was really kind of runny, and we took red food dye and put all in it, which didn't work for us later. That was hard to get off. But we were putting this, like we'd get ready to go up to a house and find a house that was like a ranch home where their picture window was right here, and we could smack on their window. So, you know, Granny would open the curtains, and we would drink this oatmeal and water mixed with food coloring in it. And just, when they opened the curtain, just spit it at them, you know. And just scare the living daylights out of them. And I was just like, man, that was so much fun. Like, I mean, I don't want nobody to do it in my house, you know. But we just scared the life out of these people. And I'll tell you where, we got so amped up doing it that we were walking away. And I remember my buddy took off his t-shirt, wrapped it around his hands, and started punching their, like, they had lights, pillars, and lanterns out in their driveway, sort of busting the glass. And he was like, I was just like, hey, this is going to a bad place. I thought this was fun scaring people, but he was all amped up, and you just think, man, you'd think we'd have been hiring kites. We weren't. We were just filled with nothing but awfulness and evil, you know. Somebody did it to my grandma. I'm telling you, I'd prosecute, you know. Like, this is not going to be very good. So Luke chapter 7, they accuse Jesus of eating with sinners. The next verse says wisdom is justified over children. Don't justify what you want to do when it has no redeeming quality value to it as a Christian. That's what we bring to the table, gang. That's what we bring to our culture. Let's bring light, right? And anytime we can do it, let's do it. Let's get after it. Does everybody have their cards that I gave you, if you have a card? Get ready to read some verses, Because what I want to do is I want to make I hope these knives work. Not so well. I want to bring some redemption here. So I'll make that work. So I want you to know I went to buy a pumpkin. And man, this thing's going to have a big knot on top of his head. And I couldn't find any. They were sold out. Because, you know, if somebody's got to either grow these or plant them, put seeds in the ground, people has got to do that, or you can't get them. So I went last night and looked everywhere, and did you know every place is sold out of pumpkins? So I had to call people. I literally was driving around with the girls, and I said, oh, there's a neighbor that has one. And I'm like, they won't miss it. I'm just like, I'll take this dang pumpkin. They won't. I mean, what did you do? If you're any boy in this room, maybe I got to be careful. No, all our younger boys are over there. It's just older boys over here. Did anybody the day after Halloween, did you go pumpkin smashing? That's what we did, man. We drove around to all of our neighbors. And I never smashed them on their front porch. I usually try to do the driveway or the street a little bit. But then we went and destroying pumpkins, you know. So I thought, they won't miss them. They got one more night of this. I'm taking their pumpkin, you know. So somebody owned this pumpkin. This pumpkin here was actually owned. Somebody planted it and grew it, and Bo bought it. So Bo gave this pumpkin to me. So I do like that because here's the deal. Somebody paid a price for this. I'm getting to use it today. So you know the Bible says that man was created out of dirt. That's how God started this whole thing. And did you know ever since Adam sinned, the Bible says that we're all born in sin. There's a verse I want somebody to read. It's known in our church. And that's John 8 and verse 48. If you've got John 8, 48, just shout it out right now.
Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil?
Yeah, they were accusing Jesus of all kinds of crazy things. And they were basically, you know, accusing him of being after the devil. And he goes on down. What Jesus has to do is he proves them. He goes, no, you know, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you know who your daddy is? It's the devil. Your dad's the devil. That's what the Bible, people don't like to admit that, but we got to admit we're sinners before we come to Christ. And so, yeah, he was essentially the owner. The good thing for you and me is somebody, if you got 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, read that. Somebody's got 1 Corinthians 6:20.
For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yeah, so, you know, you and me, see, when Jesus Christ comes along, God purchased you with the blood of Christ. I mean, you got to receive that, right? But you get to the, so the bottom line is, once you meet Jesus, you got an owner. It changes ownership. An adoption process takes place, right? And so that's because of Jesus Christ. So, but, here's the deal. For God to do some redeeming work in our lives, for us to be useful as human beings, what needs to happen is the change needs to happen on the inside. That's how this is going to be transformed. You know, when they cut this thing off and started selling it in stores and putting a price on it, as soon as they cut, this was its lifeline, and it was cut off. If you just leave this thing by itself, it ain't going to last more than a couple months. About a month, it's going to get real soft because it was essentially it's going to die. So it's very similar to you and me. But the neat thing about this is God wants to use us, and He paid a price for our lives. But the change has to happen on the inside. So the next verse we got down is 1 Corinthians 5:7. Listen for this one. 1 Corinthians 5:7.
Purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Man, Bob, I think this should be 2 Corinthians 5:7, shouldn't it? Any man who be in Christ is a new creature. Is that 2 Corinthians? Somebody help me. Help the preachers that don't know the Bible.
5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight.
That's a great verse, too. But it has nothing to do with this.
2 Corinthians 5:17.
17, read it. Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry, Bob. I did you wrong, brother. It ain't the first time either. So, hey, the Bible says if you're in Christ Jesus, that you're a new creature. And basically, you can be useful. You can be a new creature and be useful. So the first thing that God wants to do is he wants to enter in, right? And so you hear the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ died for you. But you know what the neat thing about it is? You know that picture we post with Jesus on the door? Back when that picture was even first painted and put out, Jesus is knocking. There's no door handle except on the inside because you got to open up and receive him. He's not going to force that, right? And so he's saying, come on in. And if you open the door, he will come in. So somebody read Colossians 1:27.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so Christ has got to come inside of your life. He's got to be invited in. Now, what was on the inside of us is, you know, garbage. But here's something else that's inside here. We all like these seeds, don't we? You ever fry these up, get them home, wash them out, put them in a little bit of butter? They're pretty good. Because the Bible says in Genesis that everything produces after its kind. And so, you know what this pumpkin can do? Pumpkins really grow well. Just throw a bunch of these seeds in the back of your yard and you'll probably have some pumpkins next year. You know? And so, because it produces after its kind. But I'm not sure what good it is. It's, kind of worthless. What's inside of you and me, even though you'd say, oh, look at my sweet little princess that was born to us. Well, what's inside is garbage, because the Bible says you're born in sin. Does somebody have Romans 13:12? Hit it for us.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light.
There's nothing but darkness inside. He says you've got to put off those works, because we try to do exact work. We live just like we are on the inside. Ephesians 4:22 says what? Somebody got that?
That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt and deceitful
lust. See, it's telling Christians in both these verses that there's some works. You need to put off darkness. See, the garbage that's inside of us, like here, this does not get transformed. This stuff needs put off. It needs to get out of here. It's not good for much of nothing. Colossians 3:8-9 say it really well.
But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
Yep.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
I love that passage in Colossians 3 that says put off, put on. That's the Christian life, right? We got to put off. But if we're going to be transformed and changed. Yeah. Now, what's here's beautiful about, listen, you don't have to get rid of the bad in your life and bad habits to come to Jesus. He will do that for you. But you got to go through the process of allowing him to do that. So he'll move inside. But then he wants the process of this change. So this junk, you know, when we bought this pumpkin, it came with this. It came with this. Jesus knows that. So when he died and paid a price for your life, he didn't just necessarily die for the new and beautiful you. He bought you when you were at your worst.
Yeah.
He like took the prophets in the Old Testament and says, hey, I want you to go marry a prostitute. And the prophet's like, what? Yeah, I need the people to see this. She was so beat and used up, she ran away and got put on an auction block. Who once somebody would pay valuable money for her, now she was being sold as a slave. The prophet went back and says, I'll pay a price for her just the way she is. So I think it's important to note this, that the Lord loves you. And he'll do a transformation, change in your life, but he wants to work on you. He wants to work on the inside of your life, right? So this is the inside. Remember the seeds. I put another verse down here about John 12:24. Does somebody have that?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit.
Yeah, it talks about it talks about the seeds on the inside. In the Bible, like Genesis says, we reproduce after our kind. It says a seed must die first. That's what's amazing about this. It's pretty supernatural that we can cut this from its vine and life source and yet take something like this and throw it in your yard. Dead, no life source. How does it grow? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Because this is what the Lord does. Out of death, he brings life. He walks into a valley of dry bones and he speaks life. Nobody can do it. Now, we create things, right? Scientists like to work and do things. But, you know, we have to have something to work with. He doesn't. That's why he spoke the world into existence. Isn't it beautiful? That's exactly. I think people are confused about that a little bit today. I think they're confused that, they think they got to be all this and be all that. It's just not true. But Jesus Christ came and paid a great price for our salvation. And there's a, what's the next verse on here? But 1 Peter 1:23. I love that verse.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Yeah, you see that? When our daddy birthed us, and we were born in sin. And that was a corruptible seed. That's all of us are born the exact same way. Right? Right? And so when Jesus Christ comes along, he takes the word of God, which is the incorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So if we accept that gift, then the seed, the word of God, basically the word of God plants inside of our hearts. That's how you become a Christian. Does everybody get that? You must be born again. Well, the way you're born is your daddy's sinful, corruptible seed. And all of a sudden your mom got together with him. And what happens? Boom! Out pops you. So, but it's corruptible. You're sinful. We're born in sin. So what Jesus Christ comes along and does, he gives his life for you and me. And if we will receive him, place our faith and trust in him and his work, he says he'll take the word of God, an incorruptible seed, and he'll plant it inside of you, just like we're fixing to get ready to do with this thing. Right? I love the verses in the Bible on a mustard, like a mustard seed. You know, have faith as a mustard seed. It's just this real little seed, and all of a sudden, man, you put it inside, and they say birds, man, birds are coming along and getting inside of it. I'm going to tell you the truth. I would be a much better artist with a better knife, you know, which is kind of neat too. You know what the Lord does? The Bible is called the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 5. So it's neat how to even transform this thing. I need a sharp object, you know. And the Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 5, the word of God is just that. Amen? Yeah. It changes our life. So, you know what I'm doing right now? Besides making a fool of myself, is... What'd you say? Making a mess. I do that. I'm transforming this thing. Now, I remember the apostle. Remember when the apostle Paul got saved? It's neat. He met Jesus Christ and the change started to happen. Matter of fact, somebody read for me Acts chapter 9 and verse 18.
And immediately therefore from his eyes as it has been scaled, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized.
Yep, so before he was even baptized, it says what? His eyes became opened up. And so that's what I'm doing right here. And that's what the Lord, if you've been saved in here and you meet Jesus Christ, is it true you see things differently? Like you've never seen before. You know, another thing I like about this is I'm cutting a nose and a mouth into this thing. And because what happens is, somebody read, I got Romans 10, 14 down here. I think somebody should have that.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
How shall they hear without a preacher? See, I'm putting a mouth on this thing. Because let me tell you what, when Jesus Christ grabs our life, our dead life that was worth nothing, when he gets involved in it, you know what he wants to do? He wants to use you. He wants to use me. He's going to change the way we see things. We're going to start a growth process. And all of a sudden, something that was once dead, you know, we're going to walk up to somebody's porch and what do you see? You see something lit up. Something's totally different. I would not do that. That's not very good. The seeds are hard to chew unless they're crispy. Somebody take, you got Psalms 119, verse 105? Somebody read that for me.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What God does is he takes the light and he puts it. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Once you meet him, what he really wants you to do, people before would put some scary face on here and try to scare like spirits away. But we want to do is share the light of the world. The world's in darkness. So God wants to use you to take something that was dead and just an average pumpkin. He wants to take and make you something very much alive. He'll change the way you see things and through his word, and all of a sudden you'll proclaim, be able to open your mouth, and through your mouth you'll share this light to a very, very dark world. What's Matthew 5:16 say?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
when Jesus said, you know what, I'm the light of the world, and once you receive me, you know what you become? The light of the world. He's not here. We're the body of Christ, right? So it's our job to illuminate, to light this place, right? Maybe I should light this and then, because I'm going to burn my hand right now. Okay, I'm all right. I never can get the hat back on. There we go. Is it still lit? Hey, shut the lights off. Let's see if it looks beautiful or if it looks nasty. Hey, not too bad. Hey, you know something else? Right, you can turn it back on there, Bobby. Yeah, that ain't too bad for a cheap, serrated Dollar General steak knife. You know, we also get a name change. The Bible says in Romans 8:15, somebody should have that one. The spirit of adoption. So I know who I am. I know I was born a sinner. And he puts me into his family. You know what he does? He gives me his name. I'm a Christian. Christ, like Christ. And that's exactly what we did here. We've taken this, a picture of a human being, and we're able, God has to get on the inside. He removes the garbage and puts light in, opens up the eyes, opens them out. Now we got something that's actually, instead of just some dead gourd, this thing's, so what are we before Christ? Just a dead gourd, man. That's what we were. And so, and what we've just done here is we've redeemed a little piece of Halloween tradition. And we've made it something great. And now I know every family likes to carve pumpkins when you got little kids. And you do all the thing. Or you take these seeds and make them something valuable out of them. And we do all that stuff. But man, if we're really going to redeem it, every area of our life, we need to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we're studying something, and we're studying counseling in our Bible Institute. And so I want to end on this note. It is time to quit. It is 10:30. I'm trying to hit an hour and a half. Listen to me. This is what the Bible says. I don't ever want to make light of ghosts, demons. We use these goblins. We have all these type of different words we use. I want to be careful of this stuff because when Luke comes along, he's following Jesus Christ. Jesus says, Peter, Luke. Did I say Luke? I meant Peter. Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Excuse me? He wants to grind your life down to nothing. Guys, Satan's not going to knock on your door and say, hey, wanted to know if you wanted to do meth with me. Because most people are going to say, not today. Or you could have the most horrible day of your life, and you've experienced it before, and nobody else is around, and you're going to say, yeah, take me to another place. I get it. People do that stuff all the time. But what he's going to do for you and me is he's just going to grade us. He's going to grind down us. Just like he told Peter, he said, Satan's going to sift you. He's going to take you down to nothing, man. He is going to wear you down. Even when Jesus was tempted of the devil, he tried to wear Jesus down. Finally, Jesus three times said, hey, here's what the Bible says. You can go. And so when Satan left, it just says he left for a season, but he came back. He came back. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, Peter, knowing it better than anybody, just says, I want you to know the devil's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Evil, Satan, wants to devour you, and it wants to devour your children. If you want to be a bad parent, just let your kid go to everything they want to. Every event, every person's house to spend the night. Give them freedom. Never say no to them. You'll have a troubled kid when they're 12 years old. That's exactly what will happen because you know why? There's an enemy out here that's willing to spend some time with them, is willing to invest in them. And that's exactly what will happen. So we need to be careful. Paul even says later, man, there's a messenger of Satan buffeting me, grinding down upon me. So the enemy's real. He does want to destroy your life. But Jesus Christ came along. And the Bible says this in 1 John 3:8, that Christ came to die to destroy the works of Satan. I love that verse. So I guess I want to point out a couple things. And one is, Christ, like me and you fighting the devil, that's a bad fight. It's a bad fight. He's bigger and stronger and full of wisdom, the Bible says. He knows the Bible better than you. So me and Satan fighting, he'll win. Here's the difference maker. When I met Jesus Christ and he moved inside of me, at the cross, and then the resurrection. The Bible says that Christ dealt a defeating blow to darkness, to the enemy. He came to destroy, and that's what he did. So I want you to know, Jesus Christ destroyed the works of the devil. Now switch that around. If you allow the devil, he'll destroy the works of Christ in your life. It's who are you going to listen to? What are you going to feed, right? So you need to note that, that Christ already dealt with it. So some of you are like, I need victory over Satan, man. My life's dark. Life's not good for me right now. I don't know where to turn to next. What do I do? Well, first of all, you need to recognize something. The Bible says that Christ already dealt the blow. There's been a fight already fought. He won. So remember that. We got to remember Jesus. And then check this out. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Nobody has this verse. It just basically says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. The power that dealt that blow to Satan is inside of believers. So that blow that Jesus dealt is inside of me. Greater is he that is in me. I would never call out the devil in a fight. The Bible even says that. Remember, even Michael the archangel would not bring a railing accusation against him. An archangel. Israel's fighting angel wouldn't do that. So be careful talking smack. Now our God can talk smack, and I'll stand with him. So the defeating blow is Jesus. I know Jesus and he's inside of me. So now, Christian, here's what we and you can do. Resist him. This is called the great resistance. Why is the Christian life so tough? Because we're always resisting evil.
Yeah.
It's tough. I ain't going to lie. I am not going to lie. I remember there's a guy that left our church not a couple years ago. This guy was a really, really tough man. Like, in a fist fight, I'd be afraid because I think you'd have to hit him with the hammer 17 times to get him to stop. He was a tough individual. And I remember when he left, he says, I'm not coming back. He was basically threatening me he's going to leave the church. I said, I knew you would leave. So you're not tough enough. And he turned around, he goes, if you'd have said that here, God would whip your tail right now. But that's how much he had changed. And I just said, no, I'm just saying it's hard to live the Christian life. And you don't have the resistance, man. You don't have the discipline that it takes to stand in the strength of the Lord and to follow along with suit to this, right? So 1 Peter 5 says, resist the devil. Ephesians 4 says, don't give a place to him. Quit bringing him to your dining room table. Quit letting him in your house. You know, lock the door. The Bible says he will flee. That's what it says in Timothy. Paul tells Timothy that if you'll resist the devil, he'll flee. Because we stand in the power of Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
Hope that don't sound too weird for people that might not know this. It's spiritual for sure. But Jesus is stronger. Jesus is greater. The weapons we fight are, the weapons we have are, they're not carnal, right? We fight a war, Ephesians says, that's in heavenly places, like principalities and powers and wickedness and darkness. So all this stuff about Halloween that we talk about that's really far away from our culture, the problem is, don't let them Scooby-Doo you on the thing. That's what they've done. They've made it like play. It's playland. It's Candyland, isn't it? Actually, Halloween wasn't Candyland. It was for real in history. I know our culture today don't do everything that it used to do in the past, but we understand that. This is no joke. The Bible says that if the light of Christ don't get to people's lives and rescue them, there is no rescue for them. So be the light. Be the what was once a pumpkin, now they call it Jack. You know, I remember my brother became a drug addict and his teeth fell out. So we go home, he's missing his front teeth. And he told my girls, he says, hey, I know it was your Uncle Bobby. He goes, my name's changed. Call me Jack. Jack-o'-lantern, you know. He thought it was real funny. We laughed. A year later, he was dead. Wow. Jesus Christ can make the difference. Let him change your life. Let him change your identity. If you don't know Jesus today, he loves you. He gave his life for you. God so loved the world, he gave his son to be the sacrifice. And he can make this kind of change. So all the people we look to, crazy people, people are crazy today, right? We all got a little crazy in us. This kind of change can happen. He can take something that was once dead and bring life to it. You'll see things differently. That light will shine. It'll come out of your mouth. Can they believe without a preacher? Somebody read? Nope. It takes a preacher. So let's redeem this holiday. Don't let the day go by. You're going to, you know, some people do. You can give a Snicker bar, and then you can give a little coloring book that tells about Jesus Christ. And some people might say, psychos. They won't think you're psycho if you've got the king's eye Snicker bar. And then tell people, just say, hey, I've known one guy in town was giving dollars years ago. I was just like, okay, change costumes, go back. Change costumes, go back. I'd show up, you know, I was naked, and I'm like, I'm a baby, a newborn baby. And what you do, though, if you're going to give dollars out, you just tell people, say, hey, this means a lot to me. I just want to share it with you. Bam. You can do little things like that. And I don't think you need to put on costumes like, okay, everybody go home. Your kids can't be ghosts. Your kids can't be Cinderella. Everybody dress up like Jesus. You know, it's going to be weird tonight if we're doing a trick-or-treat. Like, people keep coming to our door wearing bed sheets and got long hair. I don't know what it is. You don't look like Cinderella. Oh, I might look like Cinderella as a servant. You know, I don't know what that. So we're not even saying that. We're just saying use it. The culture that we're going to use it. Hey, sports fans. It's the number one idol in our country. Sports. You can take on sports and say sports. Ball is life. Everybody said, ball, whatever ball you use in your sport, ball is life. Well, technically that's not true. But you can receive that mentality if you want to. Or you can reject it and say, sports go against this, they go against church, keeps families separated, busy, you can't go to church. Or we can redeem it. That's what we should do. Our God is all about redemption. Let's redeem it. The problem is, though, remember, wisdom's justified over children. You can't do all that and just be a nice person and claim you're making a real difference. The light has got to go forth. If I never put a life inside that pumpkin, me cutting these holes and stuff in it, I'm telling you what's going to happen. It's just going to die quicker. It rots quicker is what happens. So our job is to take the light. He's the light of the world, and we broadcast that. And everything you do, every place we work, me and you have a great responsibility. So let's do that. So that's your Halloween message. I haven't done this. I used to do this years ago. There's all kinds of ways to do it, by the way. If you want some other tips. My daughter did it for a Sunday school class here like last week. But she did it differently. She had different illustrations. And you can talk about the different seeds that the enemy plants in people's lives. And you know, there's just all kinds of verses. It's just, you know what the whole point is? It's redemption. That's the whole point. We want to bring a redeeming value, and that's our job, is to shine the light. So, man, thanks for coming today, and I hope it was encouraging to you. You know, have a great day. You know, enjoy the day with your kids, and it is fun, you know, walking around and, you know, doing your thing and getting lots of candy. I get that. I used to love when the kids, I'd drive in my van and keep the van door open. They'd run up to a door because they had their friends with them, and as soon as they left up to the door, you know, I was always the ones like, oh, yeah, there's always candy in the van, you know. So I got home, and we could have swore we got way more candy than this. I'm like, yeah, I'm a little sick. So, all right, next week is the Vision Conference. Brian Clark will be here. Are you ready? Let's get ready. Hey, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Shine the light this week. Right, that's what we do. Let's shine the light. Jesus, thank you for your Word. Jesus, thanks for entering into our world. Thanks for purchasing us. Thanks, Lord, for knocking on the door. And Lord, I'm thankful I opened up, that you came in and your light has just illuminated my world. Lord, I see things differently. I'm thankful now that I get the opportunity to even share the light. So, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for these good people in this room. It was good today just to sing, to put things in priority, to lift you up on high where you rightly belong. So we love you. May we have a good finish to this day. Amen.